Turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. I want to preach on the subject, God's people and the world. John chapter 17. Let's begin reading verse 6. John chapter 17, verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to meet in your name tonight. I pray that the Holy Spirit would help me to preach the word. I pray that you'd open eyes and hearts this evening. And God, we thank you for all your blessings. We thank you, Lord, that we serve a risen Savior. And God, we thank you that you still are mighty to save. And Lord, we just pray now that the Holy Spirit would meet with each one of us here tonight, and that we would go out of here, Lord, saying that we've met with you. God, may I please you in all the things that I say and do. Again, Lord, we just need your help. I ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. What chapter 17 has been called Christ's high priestly prayer. You know, sometimes people say that Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the Lord's Prayer. But really, chapter 17 would be better called the Lord's Prayer, and the other would be better called a model prayer. But this is called the high priestly prayer. And Spurgeon said, God had one son without sin, but never a son who did not pray. God had one son without sin, but never a son who did not pray. True prayer is the sign of a true-born child of God. When you trust Christ as your Savior and you believe on Him, one of the first things you're going to do is you're going to have a desire to talk to your Heavenly Father. It's going to be, you're going to cry, Abba, Father. When a baby is born into this world, one of the first things it does is it cries. So one of the indications is you're saved is you pray. You pray. And prayer is hard to do sometimes. Prayer takes time. Prayer doesn't get any glory. Prayer, the flesh doesn't like it. You can find a million reasons to neglect prayer. Everything seems to encroach on your time that you should be praying. But prayer is very important, and we need it. And our Lord here gives us an example of that. In verses 1 through 3, it says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." The Lord here, this is just before he's arrested. The hour had come. He had all power. The Bible tells us here that he had all power. But he didn't use that power. He had all power, but he went willingly to the cross. His enemies thought that they would destroy Christ and destroy his religion. And it seemed as though they did. But in reality, they only accomplished what God had purposed. See, it was the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God that he would suffer and die for sinners. And while they thought they were doing the greatest damage, they were doing the greatest good. So their success, as one man said, was their failure. Their success was their failure. This hour, notice what it says. He says, "Father, the hour is come." It's the hour. This hour, all of eternity looks at this hour. Everything in the past looks forward to this hour. Everything in the future looks backward to this hour. The world's history is directed to this time. And the Bible tells us that the prophets inquired diligently as to this hour. And the angels looked with wonder when they saw the Son of God lay down his life, a ransom for sinners. And the angels had to wonder at this hour. And the Bible says here, Jesus said, "The hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." He had all power, the Bible tells us. He had all authority. And as he hung between two thieves, between heaven and earth, battered beyond recognition, spit upon, mocked, railed, he had all power. He went willingly. He spoke the world into existence, and yet he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. In John chapter 17, he's praying for his people. He's praying for his people. He's praying for those whom the Father had given him, and he's also praying for those who would come to him. If you look at verse 9, it says, "I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." Then in verse 20, he says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me." He's praying for me. He's praying for you. He wasn't just praying for his disciples and those who believed during his earthly ministry. He's praying for all who have come to Christ. So we see here, he's praying for those who the Father had given him. And in this prayer, we read about here, he speaks of our relationship to the world. I want us to consider that this evening. Christ's people and the world. If you have believed on Jesus Christ this evening, you are His possession. He owns you. You were purchased with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And Christ's people have a relationship with the world. I want to say, number one, we are saved out of this world. We are saved out of this world. Look at verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Out of this world. The Bible says in John chapter 15, Jesus speaking, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. See, a Christian has been chosen out of the world. God has taken us out of the world. We are saved out of this world. I've read that to you. It's plain. We are pilgrims and strangers in this world. And sometimes we forget that. But the Bible tells us that. We are out of this world. And even though we're out of this world, number two, we're still in the world. We're still in the world. Look at verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Even though we are saved out of this world, unfortunately, at times, we're still in this world. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11 tells us, I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or the extortioners, or with idolaters, for then ye must needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an adulterer, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. So the Apostle Paul here is telling the church at Corinth, look, if there's a person that says they're a Christian and they're living in this lifestyle, you don't company with them. You don't eat with them. You stay away from them. But then he says this. He says, I'm not telling you not to be around people that are fornicators. I'm not telling you not to be around people that are idolaters if they're in the world, because in order to do that, you'd have to go out of the world. In other words, when I go down to the grocery store, if the lady that rings my groceries up is living with her boyfriend in sin, I'm not to be mean to her. I'm not to shun her in any way. I'd have to go out of the world if I want to get away from people like that. If the guy at the gas station who takes my money is a drunkard, I still have to give him my money. I still have to be polite to him. Paul is telling these people, if a person says they're a Christian and they're living in this lifestyle, then you're not to eat with them. You're not to keep company with them. But you can't, listen, he's trying to explain to them, the world, we're in the world. You're going to have to deal with people that you'd rather not deal with sometimes. You're going to have to be around people that's not that pleasant at times. But you know what? In order to get away from that, you'd have to go out of the world. You'd have to go out of the world. And as long as you're here, that's not going to happen, is it? I'm a loner by nature. It's a character flaw of mine. If I could, I think I'd be a hermit sometimes. But you know what? That's not healthy. And it's not right, and it's not biblical. And I have to fight that within myself. I'd like to just get away from the world sometimes. But it's like the lady wrote the poem. She went, I can't remember how it went, but she said she went up to the mountains. She thought maybe she could get away from trouble there, and she found out that she couldn't find any peace there, so she went to the seashore, and she thought, well, I'll go to the ocean and relax there and get away from my troubles. But listen, you can't get away from this world. You can't get away from these things. And a lot of it's inside of us, isn't it? You know, as one old preacher said, I've got enough tinder or enough kindling in my heart. If somebody throw a match, I'd catch on fire. I've got enough stuff inside of me. As another old preacher once said, he said, I wish all I had to get rid of was the TV. He was talking about getting rid of your TV. He said, I wish all I had to get rid of it. He was talking about there's a lot worse things inside of his heart sometimes than just the television. And I can say that. I've got a lot of things in my heart I have to deal with. But you, in order to go get away from these things, you'd have to go out of the world. And the Apostle Paul says, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. So we're still in this world. Titus chapter 2, we looked at this morning in Sunday school, I think, says that his grace teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In other words, we're still in this world. We're still in this world. Thirdly, even though we're in the world, we're not of the world. Verse 14, please. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Skip down to verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We're in this world, but we're not of the world. Romans chapter 12 says, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. And that word conform means fashioned to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The world all the time is trying to conform us, isn't it? It's always trying to make us be like the world. And the world, when you don't conform, it doesn't like it. It's not happy. Have you noticed that? The world's not happy that the fact that you just don't want to be like them. That you, it's not, listen, have you noticed lately everybody has rights but Christians? Have you noticed lately that everybody can say what they believe but Christians? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that everybody has the freedom to believe whatever they'd like to believe except Christians? The world's not happy with the fact that I just leave them alone. They want me to promote and condone the things they do. It's not enough. It's like Vanity Fair. When the pilgrims went through Vanity Fair, they said, well, what will you buy? And the pilgrims said, well, we buy the truth. And that made them mad. They wanted them to buy something from Vanity Fair, the world. The world doesn't have anything for us. The world doesn't hold anything for the Christian. We're in this world, but we're not of the world. Jesus is the only person that walked through this world and didn't get anything on it. I'm ashamed and afraid to tell you, as I walk through this world, I pick up stuff. The world is not our friend, folks. It's really not. The world is not our friend. So we're not of this world. Jesus said the world will hate you. The more you live like Christ, the more the world will hate you. I told you before, the old preacher said the problem with Christians is they're just not worth killing anymore. They're just not worth killing anymore. In other words, we have become so worldly that the world's not mad at us. Somebody said one time, a boat in the water is a thing of beauty, but you let water get in the boat and you've got problems. And that's what's happened. The churches have allowed the world to come into the churches. And there's no sense blaming the politicians. I think the problem is the preachers. And as the old fella said, I are one. We've let down our guard. We've let down our standard. We've let down our morals. We've quit preaching the Word of God. We've sought the favor of men rather than the favor of God. I noticed in the New Testament, oftentimes Jesus preached his crowd away. I'm not interested in preaching the crowd away, but if it happens, it happens. 1 John chapter 2 tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we have this constant drawing, this constant, like we sung in the hymn tonight, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. We have this constant battle going on, don't we? But you know what? We're not of the world. We're not of the world. And I don't, listen, the older I get and the more I grow in grace, the less this world attracts me. It has less attraction to me now than it ever has. I just, the play pretties of this world don't mean that much to me anymore. I want to fix my eyes on God. I want to fix my eyes on eternity. I want to fix my eyes. I want to set my affections on things above, not on the things of this world. I want to lay up my treasures somewhere that matters. Don't you? So we're in the world, but we're not of the world. You young people, you say, well, I'm going to do this and that and the other, and then I'll be a Christian. That's foolish. You need to serve God now. You need to serve God in your youth while you're still young and have a lot of energy and can really do something for God. God's still looking for some people that'll serve Him. God's still looking for some young people that'll serve Him. I wish that I'd have been 20 years old or 18 years old instead of 30 years old when I began to preach. I wish that I would have started sooner. I wasted years. My youth was a misspent youth. I probably could have had a good mind. I say this, I say it with a smile, but it's not funny in a way. I was a binge drinker as a young man. I call it the lost years. There was 3 or 4 years of my life that I don't think I drew a sober breath almost. And my mind is not what it ought to be. God had given me a good, sound, clean mind, and I ruined it as a young person. Don't do that, young person. That's foolish. It's only by the grace of God I stand here before you tonight. There's a lot of people throw their life away. See it every day, don't we? See people just absolutely throw their life away. Don't do that. Do something that counts for God while you're able. And then, number five, and the last point, we are sent into the world. We are sent into the world. Look at verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. We are sent into the world to win others out of the world, and really, in reality, that is our only business in the world. I know you have to make a living. I know you have to support your family. I know you have to take care of things. But I'm telling you, our business as Christians in this world is to win others to Jesus Christ. Our business is to win others out of this world. Our business is to warn people there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. That's our business. We ought to be about that business, shouldn't we? Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, Jesus said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." We have a job to do. We are to preach the gospel to every creature. I don't know about you, but I fail a lot of times in that. I want to do better. It's the only thing that really matters. When we get to heaven, I've thought about this. It's not a pleasant thought in my own mind. When I get to heaven, will I have anybody that I helped to get there? Will there be anybody there that I influenced? I don't know about you, but I can look back on my life and I can name a high school teacher. I can name a preacher. I can name a youth leader. I can name a mother. I can name some people. I can name a grandpa. I can name a grandmother. I can name some people that put their print on my life and influenced me for heaven. Who are you influencing tonight? How about your nieces, your nephews, your family members, your co-workers, your spouse? Who are you influencing? We've been sent into the world, have we not? We've got a job to do. And it's very quiet in here tonight, so I think I'm plowing. Sometimes when it's quiet, that's good. And all of you seem to have your eyes open, so I don't think you're sleeping on me. And I'm not getting on to you. I'm just trying to encourage you that we're in this world, but we're not of the world. We're to be different. Christians are to be different. That people ought to look at us and see something different, folks. If they don't, we've got something wrong in our life. If we talk the same way the world does and act the same way the world does, we've got something going. There's a problem. There's a problem. God, when He saves us, He changes us, doesn't He? We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And I don't want my bad testimony, my life, I don't want anything I say or do to influence somebody the wrong way. And let me say this. That's a good motive, but that's not the main motive. The main motive is I want to serve the one who saved me. I want to please my master. If I'll please him, the rest, everything else will fall into place, won't it? It's just like marriage. People talk about marriage. Listen, we need to be husbands. Love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. If we'll do that, then a lot of times everything else will fall into place. I can't promise you every time, but a lot of times, a lot of those other things will take care of themselves, won't they? If we'll just follow Him like we're supposed to follow Him, then you won't have to worry about your testimony. You won't have to worry about your bad influence. If we'll follow Him like we're supposed to follow Him, others will see Christ in us. There should be, have you ever been around somebody and you didn't really know them, but you weren't around them very long, and in your mind you thought, "I bet she or he is a Christian." You ever done that? I've done that. It reminds me of the guy who owned the chocolate factory, and he would go to the store and go to the bank, and everybody would just kind of crowd up around him, and he couldn't figure out what it was. And when he come home, he said, "Everywhere I go," he said, "people just almost stand right up against me." And she said, "Well, it's because you smell like chocolate. You smell so good." Well, look, Christians ought to have a fragrance about them, shouldn't they? There ought to be it. I'm not talking about high karate or some kind of foo-foo spray. We need to live clean, don't we? We need to live right and spit white, as they used to say. The old preacher said, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't run with girls that do. I'm glad God saved me. I'm glad He changed me. We're saved out of the world, aren't we? But we're still in the world. Yet, we're not of the world. But we've been sent into the world. We're to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. I wonder if we'd get that in our hearts and just really talk to people from our hearts. I wonder what God could do. If we just, really, had a concern for the lost. I think we need to pray about that, church. I know I do. I want to get a heart tender for the lost people around me. I want as many people to witness, don't you? I want people to be saved. I want God to pour out His Spirit and save people. I have loved ones I want to be saved. And I'm not going to be an influence if I'm mean-spirited or ugly. Right? All right, I'm done.